Gosport was a town of 700 people, and still is, and I was born over there, went to elementary school there, and then moved over to the county seat at Spencer when I was about eight. My dad was off in World War II, and my mother was a country doctor, so we moved to Spencer because there was an x-ray machine there.
And where did your interest and enthusiasm in history come from?
Well, my interest in American history came from the fact that my father was very aware of what our ancestors had done. We came over from Scotland in time for the Revolution, so I was aware of American history all the time. And, of course, he was in both World Wars, so that made us aware, too, you know. But the Indian part, my grandfather had been a hunting and fishing guide up in Upper Michigan, Upper Peninsula, and he taught me a good deal of the native crafts, you know, snowshoes and moccasins and all that stuff. And his admiration for the Indians predisposed me toward them, but didn't have a whole lot of association with Native Americans until I got into writing history, you see.
We're going to talk a little bit about what you'll be speaking to audiences about during your upcoming visit, but I want to talk a little bit about some of the other things that are on your resume. You taught a course in journalism at Indiana University, but you are also a contributor to the Saturday Evening Post.
Actually, I was a senior editor on the Saturday Evening Post. That's contributing in a way, but I wasn't a freelancer for them. The Saturday Evening Post had been a great, big, important magazine for a long time. Then the Curtis Publishing eventually closed it down, and then it was restarted by an Indianapolis publisher, and that's when I got involved in it, and because I was, you know, an Indianapolis resident at that time. So, and it's still going on. It's not the magazine it used to be, but it's still going on.
Tell us about your book about the life of Tecumseh. You're actually going to be speaking to that subject when the Little Miami Conservancy holds its annual conservation dinner on April 17th. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be speaking about there.
Well, of course, I'll be talking about Tecumseh because, you know, this Little Miami Conservancy has been very conscious of his contributions. They consider him, as I do, one of the great American patriots, you know. I'll be talking about him. I think probably the story is pretty familiar. I'm not going to do a historical text on him, but I'm going to point out some of the things that he made us aware of 200 years after his lifetime, and I'm going to talk some about the American Indian connection with living a sustainable life in this world, you know, not taking more than you give back and so forth. I'll be talking about that, but I'll also be talking a great deal about the strong spiritual example of a totally committed and brave person. And I will have a few anecdotes about some of the funny and very, very meaningful things that happened since I've been involved with Indians for the last 40 years. And so it should be, there'll be some history in it, but there'll also be a lot of insight into what we have and what we need and what we've lost.
And so you're going to relate to audiences how Tecumseh's life still impacts the way we live today.
Yeah, the good things about a man of good character will always be important, you know, and we have a tendency to either let them slide or just take them for granted. So he's a wonderful example, and I'm not going to talk just as a historian, but as somebody who's been involved in rich ways with the Indian people. The last half of my life I've been involved with the Indians, and it's been by far the best part.
In your writings, it's been noted that your novels and your writings on the Western genre are noted for their historical accuracy and research. So tell me a little bit about how you approach that when you're first beginning a project.
Well, since I'm always writing about real people and real events. There's an awful lot of stuff that I want to make sure I get right, because among historical readers, there are an awful lot of people who already know something, and they're nitpickers, and and if you get your facts wrong, they will very quickly just drop your book, you see.
Yes.
So another thing is that since a lot of my books are used as historical supplementary reading in schools, I want to make sure that any history that they get from reading one of my novels is accurate, you see. So it's a sense of responsibility. You could write historical novels that you just made up, and they could be entertaining and all that. But if anybody's going to learn something from them, I want it to be accurate. And the teachers who teach my books have been using them for a long time because they've come to trust the accuracy. That's one of the reasons for research. The other reason, of course, is that you're trying to bring back to life ways of existence and ways of thinking that formed our country, and yet they've faded so much that a lot of people read history without any sense of the context of it, and you can't really appreciate history unless you know what was going on all around.
At the conservation dinner, you and your wife will receive the Little Miami Legacy Award.
Well, I've lived a good deal of my life researching by living, you know. For example, I built my house. It's a log house. And I built it using the old original tools like they used. And I've researched the weapons that they had, and I've lived with the idea in mind that, as the Indians say, you can take so much and you can live here, and you can either ruin the earth or you can keep it going. So I've been a tree hugger most of my life, and I like speaking to conservation groups because we have the same attitude about the sacredness of Mother Earth and all that kind of thing, you see. So I've lived my life as an outdoorsman, even though I am a pen pusher, you know what I mean?
Yes, and I understand that the home you live in is a 170-year-old log house?
It was originally built in the 1840s, and then back in the 1980, I took it apart and moved it over here to a different part of the county, and I had to replace some of the logs by remaking them in the old manner, you see. So I've built a house here that I've been living in ever since 1980, and that's a wonderful feeling to know that you built your own home. People used to do that all the time, but it's one of those lost skills, you know.
How do you feel about your life's work? You must be pretty proud of what you've managed to accomplish as an author, teacher, and historian.
Well, people keep reminding me that my works have pleased them and taught them. I get fan mail and stuff all the time. But I think of myself as just a guy who has a story to tell, and it's so exciting to me that I just want to share it, you know. So that's my attitude whenever I start a book, and I want to make it as exciting and interesting and meaningful as I can for my readers, but I don't think of myself as doing anything artistic. It's just like a job, you know. Storytelling, I think, is the world's oldest profession, and I'm awfully glad I've been a part of it. When you get an award, well, that's just like icing on the cake, you know. You weren't expecting that.
Well, great. I know a lot of people are looking forward to your visit. You'll be speaking at the conservation dinner with the Little Miami Conservancy. Again, that will be held on April 17th at the Marriott Northeast in Mason, Ohio. I've been speaking with author James Alexander Thom. And James, thanks so much for your time, and we look forward to seeing you here.
Thank you very much, Jerry. I've enjoyed this.